Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I'm going to preach a message today called Don't Look Back. Out of verse 62 there, do not look back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you. Lord, I am so thankful for your grace and the fact that you loved us. Lord, I am so thankful for salvation, that you save sinners even today. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here or over the internet that needs that salvation, that needs your salvation. Lord, I pray they'll find it here today. Lord, they'll call on you to be saved. Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit now as I preach your word, and I pray you'll speak to hearts here today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On September the 8th of 1960, a group of like-minded believers met together to organize an independent, fundamental Baptist church in Macon, Georgia. They decided they would name their new church Gilead Baptist Church. Some of you might know what I'm talking about here, right? But Gilead means a hill of witness. They wanted their church to be a witness in the Macon, Georgia area and all around the world. The first church service was held on September 11th of 1960 at a funeral home. And the church continued meeting there in that funeral home for 2 years until February of 1962. And at that time, they moved into the property and the building over there on Rocky Creek Road. In February of 2019, or February of 2009, Gilead Baptist Church merged with Gateway Baptist Church, and they decided to keep the name Gilead Baptist Church and begin meeting here at the facilities at 4800 Ivy Drive, where we are today. And on June 30th of this year, I took over as the pastor of Gilead Baptist Church. Gilead Baptist Church has a rich history. It has a good history. There is a lot of people saved through Gilead Baptist Church. There's a lot of ministries in this area that have done good things for the Lord in this area and all through the world. I can't go somewhere and talk to someone without somebody knowing of Gilead Baptist Church. But everything that Gilead Baptist Church has accomplished over the 64 years is only because of the Lord. It's only because He allowed it. He has truly blessed this church beyond measure. But guess what? He's not finished. He is not finished, but we must move forward. We must move forward. We cannot dwell on the past. We cannot be content with the things we've done in the past. All those accomplishments in the past are great, but we must move on. The Bible says we must not look back. Here in our text, Jesus was given the analogy of looking back here in verse 62. And it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Don't look back. Don't look back. Jesus lived in an agricultural time. His audience knew what he was talking about here. They knew what he meant, right? So for a plowman to be successful in his work, he must concentrate at the job at hand. He cannot be distracted with what's being left behind. He cannot be distracted with looking behind. He knows that the only way to be successful is for eyes to be forward, to be looking ahead, not to be looking back. The moment he looks back, the field that he's plowing, he starts getting crooked lines. And so his field is not going to yield a full harvest. Okay? So the command that's given to us here is do not look back. The Christian life is meant to be lived in one direction only, and that's forward. That's forward. You cannot move forward while looking back. You just cannot do it. So today I'm going to give you a few areas in our lives that we are not to look back on. A few areas of our lives that we're not to look back on. Number one, do not look back on sins that's already been forgiven. Do not look back on sins that's already been forgiven. One of Satan's most effective ways of defeating a Christian is to continually bring up our past. To continually bring up our past and dangle those sins which has already been forgiven over our head. You see, God is not a God that hangs our past sins over our heads. God is a God who readily forgives the sinner, who readily forgives the repentant sinner. If you would, turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 7. Do not look back on sins that's already been forgiven. Already been forgiven. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. First John chapter 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And right here, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That word "all" is spelled A-L-L. You notice that? That means all. That means every single one. That means He didn't leave one hanging behind. He's cleansed us from all sin. Look at verse 8. He says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Look at verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to" what? "Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That word "all" again. It means all. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's already forgiven our sins. If you've been born again, they're under the blood. When God forgives us of our sins, He has forgiven us completely. He doesn't leave any sins unaccounted for. I know you're like, "But preacher, this one sin, this one thing I did, it was so bad. I don't know how God could forgive me of it." It's all under the blood. The blood cleansed it all. We don't understand how it worked, but the Bible says it. God says it. We just got to take Him at His word. But you know what else? He's forgiven us all of our sins. He's forgiven us our past sins. He's forgiven us our present sins. He's also forgiven our future sins. Sins that are going to happen tomorrow and next week and next year. Those are already forgiven. All of them are gone. But you know what He does? Not only does He forgive them, but He doesn't even remember them. In Hebrews 10:17 says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." In Isaiah 43:25, it says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my sake, and will not remember thy sins." He says He blots them out. He doesn't remember them for His own sake. Not for my sake, but for His sake. And He'll not even remember them. God said, for His sake, He will not remember. And turn over to Psalm 103. I want you to look at this one. Psalm 103, verse 12. God forgives us of our sins. He doesn't remember them, and He's removed them here in this verse as far as the east is from the west. Look at Psalm 103:12. In Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." And I think this verse is interesting in those words that He uses, because the east and the west never touch. If we were to start here and to drive and go north, we would eventually come to the North Pole and we would cross over and we'd eventually be going south. But if we start here where we're at today and we start driving south or traveling east, we could go east and we can go all the way around the globe and we'll always be traveling east. East and the west never touch, and that's how far He's removed our sins from us. They're gone. He's forgotten about them. They're forgiven. He doesn't remember them, and they never come back. He's removed them. as far as the east is from the west. Hey, listen, if you're looking back at your sins that's already been forgiven, it's going to hinder you from doing anything for the Lord today. You're going to be so consumed with the past, you will not be able to do anything today. And if you allow him to, Satan is going to work on that. Satan is going to eat you up. He is going to continue to bring up your past sins. He will torment your mind. He will torment your life. He will torment those memories of your sins. And he will continuously bring them up. It will cause guilt. It will cause discouragement. It will cause fear. And the Bible says we're not to live in fear in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, listen, fear is of the devil. If you fear anything today, that's of the devil. That is not of God. That is not of the Lord. And nobody can serve the Lord in that state of mind. A state of mind of fear or discouragement or defeat. And so the word is given, do not look back. Do not look back at those sins that's already been forgiven. God has already forgiven you of your past sins. And if you've been reminded of them, it's the devil bringing them up. What do we need to do? James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. There's a couple things you've got to do in there. First, you've got to submit yourselves to the Lord. You've got to submit yourself to God. Not submit yourself to the world or submit yourself to the flesh. You got to submit yourself to God first, and then you got to resist him. You got to resist the devil. How many people resist the devil? Too many people don't want to resist him. They just give in to him. They just get, oh, it's just so hard. It's just so hard. I can't. Submit yourself to God, and then you resist the devil, and then he will flee. Right? He will flee. And when he reminds you of those sins, remind him of his future. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hey, the devil's time is running up, is running short. His time is almost up. He's going about this world seeking whom he may devour, seeking who he can destroy. But hey, his time is up. Listen, if you've been born again, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, every single one of your sins has been forgiven. It's all under the blood. It's all there. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ today, as of today, you need to do that today. Because you're in danger of the judgment. You're in danger of being held accountable for those sins. You see, salvation is just simply taking God at His word. Being saved is just taking God at His word. Being born again is just taking God at His word. What's His word? Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, saved from what? Well, saved from your sins. Saved from hell. Saved from the lake of fire where the devil is. You don't want to go there. Right? Saved from all that torment and anguish and pain and suffering. But you see, here's the problem. We all have it. It's called sin. Right? Sin is the problem. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death. But that doesn't stop there. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It just means that He proved His love by sending His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He was a sinless Son of God. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He died. He was buried. And He rose again the third day. That's the gospel message. That's the message that saves. That is the only way to bridge the gap of sin and us getting back to heaven, back to God, is to come through Jesus Christ. You cannot be good enough. You cannot get baptized and think you're going to get there. You cannot be a good enough person. You cannot join a church and think you're going to get there. No church is going to take you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ is going to take you to heaven. So for me, when I was 38 years old, I knew this fact that I was going to die and go to this place of torment, this place of hell, and I didn't want to go. So all I had to do was just rely on the Word of God. Just trust God. Just take God at His word and just cry out for mercy. Cry out for grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All He's wanting to do today is give you a free gift. Forgiveness of sins, salvation, eternal life in heaven, it's a free gift. It's like if it's Christmas or your birthday and I bring you a gift, I said, hey, I got you this gift. I want you to take it. You have a choice, don't you? You can accept that gift, you can reject the gift, or you can receive that gift, and that's what salvation is. It's a gift. But you have to receive it. In John 1:12, He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Jesus Christ is the only name for salvation. And dear friend, when you come to Him for salvation, you get eternal life, but you also get sins forgiven under the blood. Gone. He's forgotten them. Hey, all I'm saying is do not look back at those sins that are forgiven. Number two, do not look back at past defeats. Do not look back at past defeats. If you'd be turning over to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Do not look back at past defeats. Hey, no matter what you've been through, God deserves your best today. No matter what you're going through, God deserves your best today. No matter what happens tomorrow, next week, next month, whatever, God deserves your very best. God is still God. He is still good. Sure, we've all been knocked down. We've all been defeated. But don't look back at those defeats. Look here in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13. Paul, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget those things that's happened. In verse 14 it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, do not look back. Do not look back. Forget those things in the past. Forget those defeats. Paul is saying here, do not look upon them. Do not look upon anything that will keep you from going forward today and living to please God today. You see, in order for us to move forward, we must forget those defeats. Those defeats will eat you up. Those defeats will tear you down. Sure, we've all failed, right? We've all failed in the past. But let's determine right here, right now, that no matter what happened, we're going to forget that. And we're going to do something for God today. We're going to do something for God today. I'm not going to continue to dwell on those past defeats. I mean, Paul, think about it. If you know much about the Bible, if you know Paul, Paul was a man who, if anybody needed to forget their past, it was Paul. Right? Before Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, he went around and he persecuted the Christians. He persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. He went about having people put in jail, having people put to death. That was Paul's life before salvation. And in Acts 22:4, he says, and I persecuted this way. This way, that means the followers of Christ, the Christians. He says, I persecuted this way unto the death. He was a madman. He wanted to wipe out Christianity. He persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. That's Acts 22:4. Acts 26:10, he says, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, he says, I gave my voice against them. They were put to death, and I was there, and I gave my voice against them. He persecuted the church. He persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He was trying to do. If anybody had a past that needed to be forgiven, forgotten, it was Paul. Paul could have dwelled on his past. He could have let that eat him up. He could have let that ruin what the Lord had for him. But he knew it was forgiven. He knew it was under the blood. He knew he was forgiven. And in verse 14, he just says, hey, I've pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Jesus Christ. I just press forward. I don't look back. I just keep going. Right? Everybody in here at one point in time has failed, has been defeated. We've blown it, right? We've been defeated. It happens. But you know what? His grace is sufficient for all of us. His grace is sufficient for all of us. Confess it. Make it right. Leave it at the feet of Jesus. Give it to the Lord. Just trust God and move on. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 6:12, we looked at that verse a lot on Wednesday. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? Forgive us. But you see, that the old devil, he likes to focus on your past. He wants to keep you tormented with that past. And you know why? Because he knows you can't do anything about it. He knows you can't change one iota, second, minute above the past. But if he can keep you distracted on that past, he's got you defeated. You see, the devil wants your mind. He wants your mind to dwell on that past so much that you will neglect everything else. You will neglect coming to church. You will neglect reading your Bible. You will neglect winning anybody to the Lord. You will neglect telling anybody about the Lord. You will neglect all those things. And again, I said, we've all failed, right? I failed as a husband, as a father, I failed. But if we just stop right there, then I'm defeated. I'm defeated. No, I got to move on. I can't look back. I can be a better husband today. I can be a better father today. We need to press on. We need to move forward. Forget those defeats. We are on the victorious side. Let me reassure you of that. We're still on the winning side. You go and turn on the CNN news and you watch that all day, it's going to have a little thing to mess with your mind. That devil wants to get that fear going in your mind. You might think differently, but instead of getting on that CNN news, get on the King James Bible. Just get in the King James Bible and start reading about that. Then you'll have joy in your heart, right? Hey, listen, God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning. In Lamentations 3:22, says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Hope in Him. Don't hope in this world. Don't hope in your past defeats, your past sins. Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Here's a quote for you. It says, forget the defeats of the past and go on for God's glory, or go crippled to the grave. Forget the defeats of the past and go on for God's glory, or go crippled to the grave. Hey, leave them in the past. Leave those sins in the past. They've already been forgiven. Those defeats, leave them in the past. And let me give you a third one here. Do not look back at past victories. Do not look back at past victories. In the book of Genesis chapter 19, we see a danger of looking back. Right? God had just pronounced judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're about to be destroyed. So God sends some messengers to a man by the name of Lot. Okay? The message is this in Genesis 19, verse 17. It says, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So Lot, his wife, his two daughters, they leave behind their home. They leave behind their friends. And they leave behind family. They leave behind everything that they know in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God brings judgment upon them. And fire and brimstone start raining down and destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And then now the next thing that happens is unexpected. Lot's wife looks back. Lot's wife looks back and she becomes a pillar of salt in Genesis 19, verse 26. But they had the command, look not behind me, but she looked back. But here's the thing. We must put that past behind us, not looking back, and look ahead. When we look back, our journey ends. Our journey is over. When Lot's wife looked back, she wasn't looking back out of curiosity. She was looking back because she wanted to go back. Her heart was in Sodom. Her family was in Sodom. She was from Sodom. You know, everything she knew and everything that she worked for and lived for was in Sodom. And she wanted to go back. She longed to go back. And that's why we have the the warning in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. It just says, remember Lot's wife. That's the verse. Luke 17, 32, it says, remember Lot's wife. You see, the problem with Lot's wife is she had her eyes on the wrong thing. She had her eyes on the wrong thing. Most Christians today, we have our eyes on the wrong thing. The devil has worked all that out with this world to steal the minds of Christians and just to steal the minds of people in general. You fill our minds with video games and the internet and the computer and the news. And you fill all yourself with that. There's nothing good that can come out of that. There is nothing good that can come out of that. You are filled with all of that destruction and wickedness of this world. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to put fear into your mind. They're trying to control you through fear. And it's not only the news, it's become the Weather Channel as well. They want to put fear over you to control you. But hey, we're not to be looking back. Those good things, those victories in our life, we're not to be looking back at those as well. Okay? A lot of times we look back at those victories and we dwell on them. Oh, I remember the good old days, we say. I remember how things used to be at Gilead Baptist Church. I remember this and I remember that. Yeah, I remember I used to do this and I used to do that. Well, I don't do any of that anymore. You see, living in the past makes us very content to do very little for God today. When we're too busy living in the past, we can't live for Him today. So what am I saying? I'm saying, hey, quit worrying about those sins. They're all in the past. They're forgiven. Those victories, leave them in the past. We've got to move forward. The defeats, leave them in the past. Let's move forward. Let's move forward for the Lord. Let's worship Him today. Let's do something for Him today. So let me give you a fourth one here. Number four, do not look back at a past that holds bitterness. Do not look back at a past that holds bitterness. You see, when you or I or anybody have been hurt, if we fail to handle it correctly, we are in danger of becoming bitter. We're in danger of becoming anger in our heart, wrath in our heart, bitter in our heart with one another. And usually, these hurts come about in one of three ways. Usually, it's by what is done to us, right? Hurt feelings. Or it's done by what is said about us or what is taken from us. One of those three things usually will lead to somebody getting bitter if they do not handle it correctly. You say, I was wronged. This person did this to me. I was wrong, so I have a right to hold bitterness. No, no, you don't. But what is bitterness? The definition of bitterness is this: having a sharp, pungent taste or smell, not sweet. You ever bitten into something and it was bitter, right? Not sweet. Causing pain or unhappiness, feeling anger, hurt, and resentment, or it could mean harsh and acrimonious, which means having ill feelings. Having ill feelings towards somebody. Again, bitterness is my perceived right to harbor ill feelings because of what somebody in my own perception has done to me. And that bitterness begins when instead of forgiving, we become resentful. We hold it in. We get those ill feelings. We get that anger. And a lot of people right there will say, ah, I have a right to quit serving the Lord. I have a right to quit coming to church because you don't know what they said to me. Well, no, you don't. God said what? He said, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll show you. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 31, God says, let all bitterness. Right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. You probably already know the verse. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. It says, let all bitterness, that's that word all again. It keeps coming up today. You notice that? All means all. It means every single bit of it. A-L-L. All of it. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All of that bitterness, all of that bad talking, all of that anger, that wrath, all that destruction, put it away. All of it. In verse 32 he says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We've been forgiven. We've been forgiven. And the truth is that we've all sinned against someone. They've sinned against us. We've been hurt. We've hurt someone else. That's true. But that means that we all are in need of forgiveness. And in Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It starts as a little root. You know, when you plant, you've had acorns, or you have pecans, they probably do the same thing in your yard, but they get a little root on them, and they start to grow into a tree, right? They spring a little root. That's what he's saying. Bitterness, it could be just a little root that just springs up, right? Somebody says something to you, somebody looks at you some way, it just sprouts a root, right? And if you don't deal with that, if you do not let all bitterness go away, that little root, what does it do? It starts to grow, doesn't it? It starts to grow. And then it'll grow more roots and more roots. And before you know it, your whole heart is full of hardness and bitterness. But he says, let it all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Right? Bitterness is something that's going to drag us down. It will destroy the church. It will destroy you. It will defeat you. We have to get rid of it. Get it out of there. It's been said that not every sick person is bitter, but every bitter person will eventually get sick. Every bitter person will get sick. But here's the thing, too many Christians hold on to that bitterness. They hold on to that bitterness for years, and some will even take it to their graves over something that somebody did to them. All I'm saying is this, we need to let that past go. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to seek forgiveness. In Luke 17:1, it says, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Offenses are going to come in this life. We all have the flesh. It's going to come. Offenses will come. It's going to happen, but we got to leave it in the past. Acts 8:23 says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's where it ends up. That's where it'll take you. That's where the road you'll be on. It's a bond, a bondage. It entraps you. It ensnares you. And it leaves you in bondage. A lot of times the person you're holding bitterness with doesn't even know what's going on. They don't even know what they did. They don't even know what happened. But you're holding bitterness in your heart towards them, and it's only hurting you, and they're going on with their lives. So how do we get rid of bitterness? Well, we looked at the verse already in 1 John chapter 1. It's under the blood. Confess it. Ask God to forgive you. And also remember in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear my prayer. So we need to ask God to forgive us. But we also need to ask God to help us forgive the offender. Right? Forgive the offender. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 26, it says, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We need to forgive other people just like God has forgiven us. You know, when Jesus was on that cross and the nails went into his hands and his feet, you know, that sin that we have, that sin that we harbor, whether it's bitterness or anger or whatever it is, that sin we harbor is what helped, you know, nail that nail in Jesus' hand. But yet, you know what? He went to that cross knowing what we would do. He went to that cross knowing our sins, but yet he died for us anyway. And he forgave us for far much worse. Can we, as Christians, just forgive, forget, let it go, let it be in the past, and just move on with our life before it eats us up? And lastly here, ask God to help you forget it. After the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a lady from Kentucky. She took him to the remains of this grand old big tree in front of her house. And there she bitterly cried that its limbs and its trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. But after a brief silence, Lee said this. He said, cut it down. He said, cut it down, ma'am, and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain. Let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life. Let it go. Let it go. Cut it down. Hey, all I'm simply saying here today is we're not to look back. Jesus gave an analogy here of looking back in Luke chapter 9. And hey, we're not to look back on those sins that's already been forgiven. We're not to look back on our past defeats. We're to press forward. We're not to look back on those past victories as well. God wants us to do something for Him today. And we need to let that bitterness go. Let all bitterness go. Don't look back on those parts of your life that hold bitterness. So, hey, maybe you're here today and you're like, I really need to be saved. I don't know for sure if I died, but I'd go to heaven today. Talked to a lady yesterday, knocked on her door, began talking with her through the intercom, and I asked her the question. I said, do you know for sure you go to heaven when you die? And she says, no, I do not know. And so I began to share the verses with her, and I explained to her I'd really like to sit down and talk with her. But she said she couldn't right then, but she didn't know. Do you know? Do you know if you were to take your last breath today, you'd go to heaven? If not, in just a second here, we're going to have an invitation. You can come forward and let me know you need to be saved, and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But you're here today and you say, I am saved, I'm going to heaven. But let me ask you this, are we living life in light of eternity? Are we living in the past? Are we leaving the past in the past, and are we moving on for the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe we need to get some things right to move on from the past. Maybe we need to clear some things out of our heart and give them to the Lord. It's already under the blood. He's already paid the penalty for the sin. Just take it to the Lord. Do not look back. Let's pray.